Winston Churchill said this, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak, but courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen." And we're going to see both kinds of courage today in this story, the stand up and speak kind of courage, and the sit down and listen kind of courage. And we're going to one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Abigail in 1 Samuel 25. The title today is Sensible and Beautiful Abigail. Now, this is rather a lengthy story, almost 40 verses, so my plan today is to get out of the way and let the story be the sermon. Now, I would break it up into three parts. Act 1, the conflict, and that's when David is protecting a fellow named Nabal's property, and Nabal rejects to pay him for his services. And then there's the intermission, that's when the food, you know, you get the food ready, where we meet the servant and Abigail. They make the fast food, and they work in a courageous way to bring resolution to the conflict. Act 2, the resolution, that's where Abigail appeals to David, and David yields from his plan of revenge. Are you ready? All right, Act 1, Scene 1, David protects, and I'm reading from 1 Samuel 25, beginning in verse 2. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all his dealings. And when David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel with this message for Nabal: "Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I'm told that it's sheep shearing time. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men. They will tell you this is true. So would you be kind to us, since we have come at a time of celebration? Please share any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend David." David's young men gave this message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. Everything is good so far. There's no conflict yet. It's sheep shearing time. That's like Thanksgiving. And it was customary at the time to have a Thanksgiving meal for all the employees, for all the estate, bring the neighbors. Everyone who helped with the sheep, with the animals, was invited. So David's men had been providing security for all these animals. There was no electric fences, no barbed wire fences. These men were pasturing the animals out in the fields where David's men were. So they provided a wall of protection for his men and his people. So he said, "Well, can we come to the barbecue?" David has a lot of mouths to feed, 600 fighting men. And he would like to be tipped. This is sort of like tipping the waiter. You know that's important to tip the waiter? David's been providing service, so it's time to give he and his men a tip. How about a little MLT sandwich? Mutton, lettuce, tomato. So perky. The next scene. Now we get to the conflict. Nabal rejects David. Verse 10. "Who is this fellow David?" He knows full well who he is. Nabal sneered to the young man, "Who does this son of Jesse think he is?" See, he knows. It's the son of Jesse. They're fellow Judeans. They've hung out in the pasture before. He knows full well what's going on. But he's saying, you know, who does David think he is? There's lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. "Should I take my bread and my water?" Look how many times he says the word "my." "My bread, my water, my meat, I've slaughtered for my shearers." There's a problem there. "And give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? So David's young men returned and told him what Nabal had to say. Now, David could say, well, that's okay. We'll go back and ask tomorrow. You know, maybe we caught him on a bad day. That's all right. Well, let's go ask the other neighbors, you know, if they've got any bread. What does David say? Get your swords. And he's even putting his sword on while he's saying it. That was David's reply. He strapped on his own. 400 men started. 400 guys with swords. And 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. They had a lot of stuff. They lived, you know, they lived in the wilderness. He's still running from King Saul, remember. So he has to plan for the counterattack. 400 men should be enough. David had just been saying, now verse 21, he's riding up to Nabal's estate. And here's what he's muttering to himself. A lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen, but he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. There is murder in the air. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? That a man like David would go from zero to rage in 5 seconds. It's shocking to see him so angry at what he's about to do. And it's so out of character. In chapter 24 of 1 Samuel and chapter 26 of 1 Samuel, David refuses to kill King Saul. You know, once in the cave, and once he was in King Saul's tent when he was sleeping, he says, I will not harm the king, even though the king is trying to kill me. I will not do harm. And then you have this story in chapter 25, and he's ready to kill a man and his entire estate because he's not invited to a barbecue. It's quite frightening how quickly he blew a fuse, and he's planning a night of domestic terrorism. There's a warning in the Bible to be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. We can't trust our hearts. Look at the dumb, foolish things we do when we get mad. In 5 seconds, we can do a lot of damage. I think the subtitle of this story could be The Beauty and the Beasts. I mean, both Nabal and David are beastly. And the beauty will have to come and save these men. So the curtains close on Act 1. That's the conflict. Now we go behind the scenes. And that's where courage shows up. Verse 14, the intermission. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her. Now, just remember that servant. Abigail would have had no idea what to do if that servant hadn't gone behind his boss and went straight to the wife and said, you need to know what's going on. So let's not forget the courage of this servant. And there's what he told Abigail. David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us. We never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us. The whole time they were with us, in fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You need to know and figure out what to do. There's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered, no one will even talk to him. Verse 18, Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 fig cakes. Now, Is this what you would do if you knew someone was coming to your home to murder you? Wouldn't you pack your suitcase and take off and say, yeah, my husband, he had it coming. She's going to make this right. She packs him on donkeys and said to her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you shortly. She probably had to put some makeup on and get dressed and do her hair. Because she's going to ride out and meet her future Lord. She didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. You know, you can't reason with a fool. She's going to save his neck. So she's going to go around him. They act swiftly. She's going to right this wrong. She sends out the food trucks down the road to cut David off at the pass. You know, when you think of wisdom, sometimes we think wisdom takes months, years, decades. But sometimes wisdom acts quickly. Now. Something has to be done now. Wisdom drives you to take action now. Seconds. If they don't act now, her husband, the men, the entire estate will be lost. Remember, this is the estate of Caleb. Nabal is a Calebite. That's his estate, one of the most famous estates in all of Judah. And it's about to be ruined. Now let's go on to Act 2, the resolution. Verse 25. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, I accept all blame in this matter, my Lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He's a fool, just as his name suggests. Now, apparently, Nabal means fool. Now, I don't know if his parents gave him that name. I don't know. You know, that's not a good idea. But maybe that just became his nickname because that's the way he was. So she tells the truth, doesn't she? Then she says, I never even saw the young man you sent. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, she was trying to get him to stop thinking about murder and start thinking about life. Since the Lord has kept you, he's kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me. If I've offended you in any way, the Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles. Everything she says is just perfect to redirect this man. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles. And you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. So don't do it now. And when the Lord has done all he has promised and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. How powerful is that? This section, it's a masterpiece in diplomacy. It is the textbook case in conflict resolution. Study Abigail if someone starts a fight with you. She is polite, calm, gracious, respectful, truthful, and firm. She's not backing down. She accepts full blame. She takes full responsibility. She asks for forgiveness. She makes things right. And she appeals. That's one of the things we've lost, the art of an appeal, making appeal to someone's conscience. She brings the bread, and she reminds David that he does not live by bread alone. He must fight the Lord's battle. This is not the Lord's battle. Fight the Lord's battle. Abigail's not only trying to save her husband's life, she's trying to save David's dynasty. Who comes from David's dynasty? Our King, Jesus Christ. You see how everything is on the line here in this 5 minutes, this hour. She's trying to save David from David. Think of the many times when we're angry, when we sin, we wound ourselves. David is so angry, he's forgotten who he is. He is Israel's future king. He's 1 hour away from throwing away the throne. Who is going to crown him king if he terrorizes a fellow Judean farmer? See, when we're driven by emotion, anger, we lose perspective, don't we? That temptation, that sin makes us forgetful. We do foolish things. I like this definition of sin. It is temporary insanity. We've just lost our way. We've lost our mind. The Lord, wake us up. Courage stops and listens so we can come to our senses. Now what happens after this? Part 4, David yields. Verse 32. David replied to Abigail. This is just so funny. Praise the Lord. He's gone from rage to praise in 5 seconds. Now that's a little better. A little better impulse. Praise the Lord. Let's take an offering. You know, let's close in prayer. That's a much better impulse. The God of Israel who has sent you to meet me. See, God is speaking through her, right to him, right to his heart, right to his conscience, deep to his mind. It's amazing. Thank God for your good sense, because he had none, and bless you from keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you. He's standing, and there's this beautiful woman. You know, with 400 guys with swords go in the middle of the night and terrorize this estate, she's going to die. He would have killed her. Now he's awake. His conscience is alive again. He's thinking clearly. What am I doing? What am I doing? If you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning. Then David accepted her present. He told her, return home in peace. I've heard what you said. We will not kill your husband. When Abigail arrived home, she found Nabal was throwing a big party. He's celebrating like a king. He's very drunk. So she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until dawn the next day. And in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him what had happened. And as a result, he had a stroke. His heart failed. And he lay paralyzed in his bed like a stone. 10 days later, the Lord struck him and he died. Abigail's gentle, respectful words stopped David's evil plan. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And Abigail's courageous actions make David see what a fool, what a coward he was. He almost killed her, and David turned from anger and back to the Lord. And the Lord took vengeance on Nabal. We need to get out of the vengeance business. That is not our business. We let the Lord take care of that. And of course, you know what's in the next verse? What happens? The next verse says David took Abigail to be his wife. That's quite a change of events, isn't it? So in conclusion, let me make three comments here. You know, we're all in this story somewhere. We all know a Nabal. We all know a David who's controlled by anger. We all know an Abigail. Hopefully we all have an Abigail in our lives, someone who speaks good sense to us. So what about Nabal? I think when Jesus told the parable about that rich man, he may have been thinking about Nabal. Luke chapter 12, remember this? This parable. The rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have enough room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend," it's probably the only friend he had, "you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night." And that was Nabal. "Then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And Nabal denied his Lord. That was David. King David was his Lord. And he was a fool. Now what about David? There's a warning here about anger. For all of us who have a short fuse. It's in Romans 12, 19. "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God." See, it's righteous anger is one of God's attributes. Our anger is not righteous many times, is it? "For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord." Let's leave the revenge to the Lord. And then Ephesians 4, 26. "And don't sin by letting anger control you." Don't sin by letting anger control you. Sometimes our anger is very good. It's righteous. It's appropriate. But don't sin by letting it control you. And then it says, "Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry." When you go to bed at night, ask yourself, "Am I angry at anyone?" Rest means rest from anger. It's amazing how David let his anger control him, and yet thank God for courageous Abigail who brought him back to his senses. And finally, a call to courage. It's right here. Do you have an Abigail in your life? Have you had to be an Abigail to someone else? Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer deflects anger." That's Abigail. "But harsh words make tempers flare." That's Nabal and David, isn't it? A gentle answer deflects anger. Abigail was a WMD. You know what that means? She was a weapon of mass deflection. She knew how to stop a bloodbath. She not only saved the day, she saved the dynasty. And her courage helped to bring us Jesus, didn't it? And his throne. Oh, may God keep us from harsh words. Courage deflects anger. That's what courage does. Courage stays calm. Courage resolves conflict. We're living in a day when no one wants to resolve anything. It's just rage. The rage of the day. The rage of the day. The rage of the day. All day long. For months and months and months. Why is the world like this right now? Because we have abandoned God. We don't believe that He is the God who will take vengeance, and He is the God who will work through the injustice that we face. What is going to happen to us if we're angry all the time? I hope we just get worn out and we come to peace. Courage deflects anger. Courage resolves conflict. Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. And courage is what it takes to sit down and listen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this story. Oh, we thank you for the bread of life, the food, this feast we've just enjoyed. This is like being in a banquet this morning, to be fed by your word. May it accomplish good things in our lives. I pray for those of us who are in the middle of a conflict right now in their family, some places, that you would give us the wisdom and courage of Abigail. I pray for us who struggle with anger. We have a short fuse, that you would teach us to be careful and not rash with our words and not inflame things, but to deflect. We pray for our society, our country, which is angry every day about something. Lord, this is not right. We need to make peace with you and peace with one another. Lord, bring your peace to these brothers and sisters today. In Jesus' name, amen.